Let's pray once more. Lord, we have gathered to worship you, and we have been worshiping you. Help us to continue to worship you, and help us to worship you in the preaching and in the hearing of your word. Lord, help us to be mindful how you have ministered to us. Help us to see how you've given us faithful ministers, and help us to be faithful ministers to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's such a blessing to be here, my home and sending church. And we in Niksich are a church like this one, a biblical church. And we value preaching, and we see preaching is the foundation of what takes place in the church. When we consider preaching, we believe, as you do, that consecutive exegetical preaching needs to be the foundation so that we're taught through whole passages of Scripture and gain the whole counsel of God. While we're doing that, sometimes we pause and do ad hoc sermons to address a particular need. Periodically, we'll open up a doctrine or a topic. And there's one other kind of message that I believe is useful to do periodically, and that is what I would call a person study, to look at a particular person in the Bible and to see how God has worked in that person and to see how that person can either be a good or sometimes a bad example to us. This morning, I want to consider a person in the Bible, Epaphras, who's only mentioned a few times. He's mentioned in two places in Colossians and once in Philemon. So you can turn to Colossians chapter 1. And as we're getting ready to read the text, I'll make some introductory notes. I've pronounced his name Epaphras this morning. Epaphras would probably be more accurate. That epat, that ah sound, that is so American. That is when we like to put that in. But since that's the normal way we've heard, I'll continue to say Epaphras. A little background. This book of Colossians, Paul is writing, but how is it that he's writing this book? Well, Epaphras had been ministering in Colossae. Paul had never been there. Epaphras had been ministering, and we'll see how effectively he had been ministering, but then later on he goes and joins Paul in prison and apparently talks to Paul, and then Paul writes this letter to the Colossians based on his contact with Epaphras. When we consider Epaphras, I want to be considering the title, A Model Minister. And as we consider him as a model minister, some of the things that he's doing are unique to his calling as a minister, as a called office bearer, a minister of the gospel, a pastor, a preacher. But much of what we see is applicable to all of us. And I want to remind you that we're all called to be ministers, servants. Sometimes people will say, well, you know, where does it say that? I think one of the best places is in 1 Peter chapter 2, where it says we're a holy priesthood. And in the Protestant Reformation, we've recovered the truth of the priesthood of all believers. And the job of a priest, which we all are, is to worship God and to make God known to others. And so we're all called to that. I would also point out that in Hebrews chapter 5, the author of Hebrews is mildly rebuking the Hebrews and says, you ought to be teachers by this time, but I need to teach you once again some of the first principles. But he says to believers in general, you ought to be teachers. So all of us, if we're believers in Christ, are called to be teachers at some level. Parents, ministering, teaching their children. One older in Christ, ministering, teaching one younger in Christ. And then we're also told of leaders to follow their example. And so Paul says, follow me, even as I follow Christ, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So as we consider this, you know, I think it's legitimate. If you're an office bearer, you say, how does this apply to me? And God help me to be a minister. But if you're not an office bearer, you're doing the same thing. And you're saying, God, to whom can I be ministering in this way? And help me to minister in this way. So this is truly for all of us. Very few things noted about Epaphras. Colossians 1:7, 4:12 and 13, Philemon 23, I'll repeat those. But in those few verses, we have a wonderful summary of a faithful believer. And it's good sometimes to think of things in summaries. Paul is reflecting, and he mentions a few things about Epaphras. And from those few things, we see what Paul thought important, what was notable, what he remembered, what was characteristic. And it's a positive testimony. I kind of think, what do you want to be on your grave marker one day? What would you like to be on there? Or if somebody's describing you, how would you like to be described? And can people, when they want to describe you very quickly, what would they say? Think about that. What would they say? What is characteristic about your life? And may God help us that what is characteristic in our life, what others see, would be something like unto that we're going to hear from the life of Epaphras. If you're going to have a discussion, you can ask that. You know, what? How would you describe me? You can ask one another. How would somebody else describe me? Well, let's see how Paul described Epaphras. I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 1, from 3 through verse 8. Paul says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard and understood the grace of God in truth, even as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. That's the first place we haven't mentioned, is in 1:7. And I want you to note, and we're going to get back to it, verse 7 says, even as or just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. In 7, we see that he's a faithful minister, he's a faithful servant on your behalf, but 4 through 6 describe what he's been doing. And when Paul says, as you learn from Epaphras, he's referring back to that which he said in verses 4, 5, and 6, which will be important for us to get our picture of Epaphras. Then, chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. And then we have one more mention of him in Philemon in verse 23. And you can just listen if you don't want to turn there. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, as do some others. But that's the third and final mention of Epaphras. That's it. There's a mention of an Epaphrodites elsewhere. I do not believe that's the same person. But this is what we have of Epaphras. Three times he's mentioned. And now what I want to do is to open up who he was. And as we look at him then, we're looking at what God has done in his life. And we're looking at him serving God. And then we are called into service as well. I have about eight points, topics, characteristics I want to note. I'll note them along the way, and then at the end I may sum them up once more. And these are very, very good. The first thing I want to consider is that he was a minister of the gospel. Verse 7, very clear. He is a faithful minister of Christ. And then when we look at what he did in verse 5, we see, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. Epaphras was a faithful minister of the gospel. Some of us are called as office bearers to be ministers of the gospel. Remember, as I said earlier, we're all called to be ministers of the gospel. And when he was ministering, now we could take some time and flesh out what all is part of the gospel, and that would be a legitimate opening up of this text. We know then that he would have talked about God to people. He would have talked to them about their sin and about who man is. He talked to them about Jesus and the substitutionary atonement. He talked to them about faith and the necessity for them to personally look to Christ. He would have called them to Christ. And he would have said that there is a point in time when you're out of Christ, and there's a point of time when you come to know Christ. And look at this. In verse 6, it says, which has been coming to you as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard and understood the grace of God in truth. You heard and understood. You came to know. There was a time when you did not understand. There was a time that you came to understand. There was a time when you did not know, and this word can be translated know as well, and there was a time that you came to know. There was a time when you did not have faith, and in verse 4, there was a time that you came to have faith, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. This is foundational, and God calls us all to be ministers of the gospel. I want to look at these verses once more and highlight some of the elements of the gospel that we see here. In verse 4, we have faith mentioned. We have love mentioned. We have hope mentioned. The word of the truth of the gospel in verse 5. And then he continued to minister not only that they would come to know Christ, but that they would bear fruit. And in verse 6 we see, which has come to you is indeed in the whole word it is, bearing fruit and increasing. And then when we look at chapter 4, verse 12, you can just listen. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on behalf of you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect or mature and fully assured in all the will of God. A faithful minister is going to be very concerned that people come to Christ. But then a faithful minister of the gospel wants people to live in the gospel, to bear fruit, to grow unto maturity. God wants us to be concerned for that. God wants us to be concerned if we're pastors, and God wants us to be concerned if we're ordinary Christians, that we help people to come to know the gospel and that we help people grow in the gospel. We are all priests. Epaphras then was a minister of the gospel. Secondly, I want to consider that Epaphras was Christ-centered. Now, that flows out of that he was a minister of the gospel. But I want to consider a little bit more that he was full of Christ, and he saw himself bound to Christ. Verse 7, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ. And then in chapter 4, verse 12, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, and the New American Standard has bond slave, and that word in the Greek is the doulos, which means just that, bond slave. It has that rough sound to it. You know the story in the Old Testament. Somebody was an indentured servant. If they wanted to continue to serve their Lord or their master, they could choose to do that. And they would have their ear bored out and they were marked. And they voluntarily identified, I want to be a slave forever. I want to serve forever. I want to be a servant forever because I love my master. And if earthly indentured servants can do that, how much more should that be in our lives, that we are bond servants, bond slaves, that we are so enraptured and in love with Christ that we are not ashamed to say, He is my master. I have given myself totally and completely to Him. That's what doulos means. And sometimes we can gloss over that. If we're ministers, we need to be all about Jesus Christ. We need to know that we are not our own. We need to know that we literally belong to a master. And that's true of all of us. If we're Christians, we love the Lord Jesus. If we are Christians, He is our master. If we are real Christians, we are so in love with Him. And we owe all to Him that we lovingly and worshipfully and readily acknowledge that we're His bondservants. Now, if we're not in that place, there's one of two possibilities. One is that we're not Christians. Now, we've heard some nice things in church, and it makes sense, and it sounds good, but we haven't given ourselves to Christ. And God calls us to do that. The goal of the ministry here is that we would all acknowledge the Lord Jesus as our master. We may have, the other option is we may have done that, but we get so busy in day-to-day activities and we're so busy with other things that we lose sight of that. And it's times like these, and when we read a verse like that, a bondservant of Christ, that God calls us to renew and to remember and to step back and to say, yes, Lord, I've been busy with many things, but help me to get back to that which is most important. Help me to sit at your feet. Help me to live as your servant. Epaphras was Christ-centered. He was Christ's servant, but he was also a servant to all. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. In verse 7, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, and that fellow servant is that word doulos again, and he saw himself not only a servant to Christ, but a servant to the brethren in Colossae. He was a faithful minister. He was a faithful servant. And God calls us all to love and to serve one another. God calls us to be committed to one another. God calls us to have such a life that I don't consider my life my own. And not only does it belong to Christ, but it belongs to my brothers and sisters in Christ. The brethren in Colossae knew that was the case. And Paul could characterize Epaphras' life. He is your servant. When I look at him, he has you on his heart. And Paul could see him praying when he was away in prison. And he would be praying for his brothers and sisters in Colossae. When he was there, he would be among them and ministering and serving. How are we serving one another? Does anyone think I'm their servant in a positive way? Would anyone give that testimony? That brother has really served me. That sister has really served me. To be a faithful Christian is to be a faithful servant. Additionally, he was a hard worker. He strived. Look at chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf. Struggling. And that's that agonizomenos, agonizing. And then in verse 13, for I bear witness that he has worked hard or had deep concern for you. So we see in verse 13, working hard. And in verse 12, we see struggling. A faithful minister is one who works hard. One who has a zeal. One who expends energy. One who struggles and strives. Sometimes those words are not popular. Struggling in my Christian life. Striving. Working hard. Pressing on. There's a certain kind of a doctrine that says, well, you don't want to do that. You want to let go and let God. And it's unspiritual to strive and to work hard and to struggle. Well, that's not biblical. That's as simple as it is. Here, it says, in a commending way, that he is always struggling. He is always showing great concern. And he is agonizing, if you will, and working hard. That's how God used him. Because he worked hard. And his master would get an honest day's wages out of him. There's an expression in Montenegro. It comes from a time when there was more cultural Christianity. But it says, if you're being lazy, it says that you're kradeš Bogu sati, you're stealing God's time. You're stealing God's hours. And so, if we're not working hard, if we're being casual and lazy, what kind of work are we doing for our master? What is taking place? And to what degree is it being done? The Bible tells us, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And we're told in Romans 12, not to be slothful or lazy, but to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. In Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to himself a peculiar people, eager and zealous for good works. Epaphras was zealous. And that characterized him. And Paul, in his quick description, let me tell you about him. He was a hard worker. He's a hard worker. He's eager and he's working. Now, as we consider that a faithful minister is a hard worker, I want you to notice that Epaphras, in addition to having a general godly work ethic in all he did, he had a peculiar zeal and energy for a peculiar group of people. In verse 13, "For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you in Colossae and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis." So he had a peculiar zeal for a special group of people. And we would say God put that on his heart. And that was part of his ministry. I'm not embarrassed to tell you I have a peculiar zeal for those in Nikšić and for those in Montenegro. But God would have all of you answer that question. Well, for whom do I have a particular concern? And for whom am I expending a particular effort? It's good to be working hard in all that we do, but we can't really work equally hard in everything that we do, and we want to have some focuses or foci in our lives. For parents, children. For, if you have a friend, friends. If you have a particular group that you're with. But that's a helpful thing, is to have the energy and be working hard, but then to have some areas that we particularly focus, and God puts that on our heart. We see that in the life of Epaphras. We see that as a faithful minister, as a model minister, he was a minister who prayed. In verse 12, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf." We noted that's true in general. But then, in his prayers, he's struggling in his prayers. Now, in our prayer life, we're told to pray without ceasing, and we're constantly to have God before us, and we're, "Oh God, help me," should be on our lips often during the day. And sometimes it's just a quick passing prayer as you're engaging in an activity. And then we all have, most of us, it's our Christian culture in a good way to pray when we eat, all right? And that's a good thing. But let's be honest, when we give thanks to God for our food, which we do and should do, it's not usually struggling hard in prayer. But we should have times when we struggle hard in prayer. That should be a part of our prayer life. It was part of Epaphras's. And then note, as it's part of his prayer life, notice the content that he's praying. "Struggling on your behalf in his prayers that you may stand mature or perfect and fully assured in all the will of God." He wasn't praying that their life would be easy. He wasn't praying for necessarily typical and popular things, but he was praying really for that which is most important, that the believers would be perfect, mature, that they would know the will of God and be assured in the will of God. And that's how we should pray for one another. Now, in addition to this, God tells us other things about prayer. We should pray for our daily bread, and we should pray for one another in many different ways. But we're looking at this. And so, as we're a minister to those that God has put in our lives, let's pray that they would know the will of God. Let's pray that they would come to have an assurance in the will of God. Let's pray that they would be mature and perfect. And he says, he prayed for those. Let's, depending on our calling and our gifting, let's have a list of people that we're praying for. And as ministers of the gospel, let's pray for those in the church that they would come to this point. But again, let's all pray for one another in this way. I'm kind of reminded of something I said during the Sunday school hour. We have a blessed couple in our church. They love the Lord. And the wife's father was dying. And in the Montenegrin culture, you don't talk about people dying. You talk about how they're going to get better, even though they're not. And even doctors lie about patients' situations. But she asked for prayer, and she was giving testimony in the church asking for prayer. And while she was asking for prayer for her father, we had visitors there. And she said, you know, my father's sick, my father's dying. Don't say he's dying. You know, you're not supposed to. What I want most of all is for him to know Christ. And that was just scandalous to visitors that are not believers. No, you want to pray that he gets better. You know, what good is it if he knows Christ and dies? Well, we're all going to die. And that's the only thing that is good, is coming to know Christ. She asked that we pray for her in that way, and we prayed for her, and then she spent a couple of weeks with her father, even as he was dying, and her husband gives testimony to her. He goes, I wanted to witness to my father-in-law. I really did, but I just got choked up with tears, and I couldn't do it. But my wife, God gave her special strength and grace, and she was able to continually witness to her father until he died, and the father gave assent that he was trusting in Christ. And so, but even the relatives seeing her witnessing to her father as if he's going to die, even that was so contracultural there. No, no, don't do that. But that was her great heart's concern, and that's how she asked us to pray, and that's how we prayed. Now, this is more particular. It's not merely asking for people to come to Christ, but we need to pray that people would come to Christ and know the will of God, grow in maturity, grow to be perfect. We see that in the life of Epaphras. Sixthly, there's something that I believe has been coming in between the lines here, and I'll present it first that way, and then I'll cite the verse. Epaphras had a peculiar commitment to a group of people. He spent time with them. He knew them. He knew that they were coming to Christ. He could say that they were coming to Christ and that they had come from no faith to faith, that they were coming from not knowing to knowing. He's connected with them. He particularly cares for them. I would say that we see friendship and intimacy and relationship. Friendship for short. The faithful minister is a friend. And in verse 23 of Philemon, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, sends greetings to you. He wants to greet you. And in Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greets you. Epaphras, he's in jail, or he's with Paul in jail, and he's sending greetings. He's letting him know, I want you to know I'm thinking about you. I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that you're on my heart. And I'm one of you. I'm one of you. I'm not one who's lorded it over you. I'm not one who's been unapproachable. I'm not one who's been aloof. I'm one of you, and I want to greet you. And Paul says, hey, he's one of you, and he's sending his greetings. In our ministry, people need to know that we're one of them. People need to know that we're close. And that's part of being a servant that we said earlier. And people, it's such a blessing. People don't only want to know that we're servants, but they want to know that we're their friends, that we like them, that we'll spend time with them. And it's been an encouragement to me, and I guess the person will know who they are, but somebody has written me in the past, and they would sign their letter, your friend. Okay? Your friend. I appreciate that. You know, it's good to know that I have some friends. Sometimes you think maybe you don't. But so it's good to know that you don't only have brothers and sisters in Christ, you also have friends in Christ. And Epaphras was that. Now I want to touch on something that I think also is seen in Epaphras' life. This isn't quite so direct. This is a little indirect. There's one, this is going to be a little indirect, and then there'll be a more direct one to close off with. So Epaphras was ministering in Colossae, in the church there. Perhaps he was the church planter. Paul had never been there. Paul says in Colossians 2, verse 1, I want you to know about the great conflict I have for you and for those that are in Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face. So Paul had never been there. But Epaphras comes to Paul. And Epaphras is meeting with Paul, and then Paul is responding and writing to the Colossians. I'm setting this up. Another way thing to consider, Epaphras is a minister of the gospel. Paul is an apostle that has apostolic authority. And I think what we see here is Epaphras is looking to Paul as a mentor. And I think it can be said of Paul that Paul did what he instructs Timothy to do. And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others. And I think we can see that relationship, there was definitely a relationship between Paul and Epaphras. And I think we can see the way Paul is talking about him and what is said, that there's a relationship of a junior to a senior, or a younger in faith to a more mature in faith. And that's something that we need to nourish both ways. In Montenegro, I need to be praying and ministering that God would raise faithful men, but then I need to be mentoring them that they would then mentor others. And that needs to be taking place here. And I know that it has. And God has blessed. I don't know what it's called currently. Is the Apollos Academy in business? Or does it have another name now? But that is taking place. But it goes the other way. Someone younger in the faith should be looking to someone more senior or more mature in the faith. And so Epaphras, when he has these difficulties about what is going on in the church, and there's some strange doctrine that's creeping in amongst the Colossians, and he goes to Paul to talk about it, and then Paul writes this letter. So we see a mentoring relationship, and that's something that should be taking place, and that's something that is a good thing. And what I'll close with before wrapping it all up is Philemon was a prisoner in verse 23. Epaphras in Philemon 23. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, sends greetings to you. Now, whether he was arrested or whether he was voluntarily in the jail with Paul, in any case, Paul considers him a fellow prisoner, so he was in there. And sometimes, as we're serving the Lord faithfully, doing all that he's given us to do, it's not always going to be easy. And sometimes we're going to feel like prisoners, or life is going to be difficult, and sometimes we may in fact become actual prisoners and may actually be persecuted for our faith. And we need to be prepared for that. It's not always easy, and to be in the will of God doesn't mean that everything is going to go smooth. And we need to be willing to suffer difficulty, sometimes voluntarily, sometimes involuntarily. And that's a part of a faithful ministry as well. So I had 8 characteristics of a faithful ministry to you, or a faithful minister. being a minister of the gospel, being Christ-centered, being a servant, being a hard worker, praying, being a friend, being involved in mentorship, and sometimes being a prisoner. Epaphras was all these things. I have a wonderful report to give to you this morning, and that is you have Epaphrases in this church, and you can give thanks for them. And it is not unbiblical at all to give thanks for individuals that are serving God faithfully. In fact, the Bible says honor such, and we give thanks for that. And so you can consider and give thanks. Who has been a faithful Epaphras to me? And note that. But then, be thinking, can you guess what's coming? To whom can you be as Epaphras? To whom can you be a minister? To whom can you fulfill the ministry that God has given you? And remember, God has given each one of us a ministry. And God will help you to do that. God loves to fulfill His will. And as you pray and seek to do this, God loves to help you do His will, and God loves to answer prayers that are according to His will. So let us help. Let us be faithful ministers of Christ. Let's pray. Oh Lord, You came to us in Christ, and You were all that we have read and more. You were the superlative faithful minister to us in Christ, and we thank You. And Lord, You've used others in our lives, and we can pause and reflect and thank You. And Lord, we pray that You would help us to be faithful ministers to others, that You would be glorified, that Your people would be built up, that You would, Your name would be hallowed in the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.